Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of A Sound Heart Radio. In this afternoon's episode, we're going to be discussing the doctrine of sanctification and an aspect of the doctrine of sanctification is our relationship, our eternal and conjoint relationship to Christ. And as such, we are to be holy in character. God said, "Be you holy, for I am holy." So we are to have this powerful characterological change that is to be ongoing while we are here. Sanctification is progressive. And sanctification, there is a positional sanctification that we have because we are in Christ. And then there is a progressive or growing sanctification that depends upon our maturity as believing ones. And so as we mature, we come to understand the doctrine of sanctification more, or what it means to be set aside unto God. Set aside unto God. So to be sanctified means to understand spiritually who we are and whose we are, our purpose. And so I'm going to be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Now, Paul writes, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Now, he had to write this particular section of doctrine that we will be studying because this church, that is the church at Corinth, had a real problem with sexuality. And that is with the boundaries of sexuality and the expression of sexuality within the confines of marriage. And so these believers were having a hard time with porneia, that is, illicit sexual relationships or sexual relationships that are outside of the biblical view of sexual relationships. And so there's a problem with purity. There is a problem with inner moral pollution. And so Paul had to address this phenomenon that was going on in this particular church because of the profligacy that these believers were around in Corinth. So Paul writes, "But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit." Verse 18, flee fornication, or that is, flee porneia, is the sense in the Greek text. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sins against his own body. So, the body, and then he goes on in verse 19, and Paul states, "What? Know ye not that your body..." That is your soma. The Greek has the article the before the noun soma. "Know you not that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit in you?" Now, The word for temple in the Greek here is naos, which means the inner sanctuary, the inner part of the temple of God. And so it is, that is, the body is the Holy of Holies of the Spirit of God. And so the body is not to be polluted with things that, or with acts that are inconsistent with what one confesses. And believers confess Christ Jesus as Lord. Now, there are many professors. There are many individuals who profess to know Christ. There are many people who profess to have a relationship with him. Watch their actions. Actions tell us who the person is. Actions tell us who the person is, or demonstrate to us who one is. And so we have empirical evidence from one's actions as to who one is. So this is very, very powerful and very important for believers to understand. And Paul, with amazement in verses 19, writes, "What? Know you not that your body is the inner naos, or the holy of holies of the Holy Ghost?" Which is where? Which is in you. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And then he goes on and he states, which you have of God, and you are not your own. Notice the verb are, state of being verb. You are not your own, because we were bought with a price. And Paul states this in verse 20, for you are bought with a price. And what was the price? The price was the blood of Jesus. Bought with a price. Therefore, we belong to another. We were purchased out of the agora. That is the marketplace of sin. And now we belong to God. We are God's. You're not your own. You are not your own. I don't know how many times over the years I've had to stress this to believers. We are not our own. We belong to another. We belong to the living God. We belong to him. So he goes on, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are whose? Which are God's. The whole man, body, soul, and spirit belong to God. The whole woman, body, soul, and spirit belong to God. And we have this wonderful relationship with God that is eternal. Peter states something also very powerful for us too. And this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Verse 5. You also, or ye also, and the you or is emphatic in the Greek, you also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Well, again, we see our relationship with God and what it means to us as believing ones. Now, in verse 9, Peter talks about one of the spiritual sacrifices that you and I all are to offer up to God. In verse 9, he goes on. He says, but you, again, the you is emphatic in the Greek, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, in the old English, It really, in the Greek, it means a possessed about people, a possessed about people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into marvelous light. And so, and we are also to offer up to God and the sacrifice of praise, or the fruit of the lips. And so spiritual sacrifices that belong to a people who have been led out of darkness into the light. One day I'm going to talk about scotus and scotia. Scotia means the consequences of darkness. Scotus is another very grave term that has been translated darkness. And I'm going to need to talk in detail about scotus and scotia one day. So he goes on, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust." Now, as those who are indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God, we are not to engage in fleshly lust. And notice, which war against the soul. So, fleshly lusts war against the soul. And then there is a way in which you and I can sin against our very bodies by sexual pollution. Now, notice, fleshly lusts. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul. That is, to battle against the soul, or to be spiritually militant against the soul. Stratio and bespeaks a military operation against one's own soul. You and I, as ones belonging to God, must be so very aware, so very alert, very astute about what spiritual warfare really is and how the enemy seeks to seduce us. And not only the enemy seeks to seduce us, but our own lusts would seduce us and bring in pollution that will keep us from living godly lives. We are to be godlike. We are to be godly because we are those who are followers of the living God. And so therefore, godliness, being godly, living in a manner that is consistent with our confession, is who we must be and who we are. We have to boldly and powerfully take hold of the new reality in Christ. We have to boldly take hold of who we are and whose we are. Now, we say spiritual warfare, which means you and I are in active duty. There is no passivity related to spiritual warfare. You and I cannot be passive. We are actively engaged, or we should be actively engaged in this spiritual struggle. Please read Psalm 119, and this, in which the believer talks about godliness and talks about his faith. There's nothing passive about godliness. It is related to growing in the Word of God, in which we become mature believers and we keep on becoming ever more mature in Christ. So passivity has nothing to do with our faith. That is a lie of the enemy. We're to be active. We're to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, so we might war successfully against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Good afternoon. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich, and God bless you.